Welcome to End Time Chronicles podcast with Brother Eben. This podcast discusses issues regarding the end times and the things unfolding and things about to unfold. We are living in very uncertain times and information is very critical these days. You can download or listen to this podcast on spiritissues.info. Now, let's join today's edition.
These are the end of days, what the Bible says about the day of the Lord. And the whole world shake with the big earthquake when he returns. Could be a nuclear war, what the prophet saw, till you wonder where your help come from. Look up, your redemption draw near. Come the man of peace, come the mark of the beast, the tribulation. Don't you be surprised when the Antichrist give a deception. And you see nation rise against nation, abomination of the desolation. Look up, your redemption draw near. When he draws near, he will wipe away your tears. When he draws near, he gives you faith, kick all your fears. Look up, your redemption draws near.
Beginning of this year, there was this message that the Spirit laid on my heart, told me about the fact that we are entering the time when we would have to remember Lot's wife. And this is one of the shortest verses in the Bible. Luke 17:32, Jesus said, there's just three words: remember Lot's wife. And you'd realize them. Let me just read a few verses before it, and then we can go on with this, where it talks of from. So Luke 17 and then 24 says, for as the lightning that lighteneth out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his staff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. 33. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Okay, so no reference is made to Lot's wife in terms of earthly possessions that shouldn't be in this particular context, shouldn't go back to take her things when the day of his coming is and all that. But it starts a bit earlier. It's not only the day of his coming that remember Lot's wife, but the world system is such that it can trap us and let us be like Lot's wife if care is not taken. Because, you know, you acquire things, you have things, you know, building, cars, material things, investments, and, I mean, all the worldly things you can think of. So, if we are not careful, these things can be attachments to us in our quest to serve God effectively. And the reason why the remember Lot's wife comes in handy is that we are going to get into situations soon in this world where one will have to really make hard decisions regarding detaching themselves from some things or losing some privileges and just to keep serving God, because we are going to have instances where either you lose some things of your, I mean, properties, you lose some privileges, you lose benefits, you lose this and that because of the faith that you want to hold on to, or some beliefs you want to hold on to, or you give in and have your freedom and maintain the things that you have and enjoy the things that you have. And this is where remembering Lot's wife is going to be very, very handy, because if we don't lose a grip that we have on our worldly things and the earthly possessions, we will struggle just as Lot's wife struggled in her mind. You know, one other thing I remember the Lord told me also at the beginning of the year was that we are entering a season where we would have to start losing our grip on worldly things. I mean, worldly things, not in this case, I mean, not sinful worldly things per se, I remember, but in terms of the things that we use, the things that we have in this world, we should start our love and our grip on them. We should start detaching it gradually, or we should start doing so, because, see, you can use something, but your heart is not into it. So, if even you have to lose it, I mean, you don't really care, you know. Let me just give an example. For instance, recently I decided to just quit, I mean, Facebook, and it happened after I watched this very powerful documentary drama called the Social Dilemma, and where you have some of the big players and the engineers and people who are part of the social media industry who have left and are giving the warnings, the psychological, the manipulation and all that goes on and all that. So clearly already I had challenges of the way this whole thing is in recent time, but after watching it, I just decided, no, I'm just call it quits, you know. I was able to cut off and make this decision to just leave the platform because it's not something that I'm holding so dear to my heart. So it's like, well, I can just walk off. I mean, what do I lose? I just walk off. I mean, yes, they are friends and things, but, you know, because it's not something that I was holding so dear to my heart as a cherishable something that if I lose I can't survive or something, I was just able to cut off easily. I mean, it's been 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks or so, and I just don't miss it. I don't miss it, because you see, it's not something that I was holding so dear to my heart. And that's how it says, you see, we should start moving to that level where even if you own things, you have things, yes, use them, but it's not that you put your whole love into it and make it so binding on you that it's like, without this you can't survive, without a car you can't survive, without this you can't survive. Because see, the challenge Mrs. Lot had was to do with leaving the things behind. You know, you can imagine the possessions that they had, the properties, the investments, I mean, the animals and all that they had, and you just have two men come to you in the night or overnight, and you are told that you are leaving in the morning, no parking, just leave. Oh, how? I mean, after all these years, the things that they've gotten from Abraham and all the things they've gotten afterwards, you can imagine, and just walk away, leave everything, don't take anything. It's not a simple thing. It's not a simple thing. So to move, and it's like in her mind, so we are leaving all these things behind. We are leaving these things behind. All the investment, all my gold, all my jewels, all my this, all my that. She just couldn't accept it in her mind. So even though there was a strict instruction, do not turn back, look back, I mean, she couldn't process it in her mind. She had to eventually disobey and then do so, look back. You see, so it starts from the fact that the possessions really were a major part of her life, and this is the beginning of the trouble for her. We have an advantage of reading this in history, in the Bible, in terms of something that has happened before that we can learn from. So Jesus says, remember her. See, the fact that we can remember her means we can learn from her mistakes and avoid same going forward when the time comes that these things may apply in our lives. And this is the real challenge, because you see, it's a very difficult thing indeed. It's not as simple as it looks. It is, but we are getting to that point where if we don't start preparing our minds towards these things, it would be difficult for some, because to look at your things and say that no, I can't leave these things, no, I can't, then let me just go with the worldly system. I know of an instance where this family, I mean, somewhere in Europe, doing very well there, I mean, having their things, even bought a new car, extra car and all that, and the Holy Spirit just started pushing them, prompting them, it's time to leave and move back to Ghana. I mean, as simple as that. But the pressure was on, you know. No, they knew this was the Holy Spirit talking to them. They knew. I mean, they have a good relationship with God. This is a godly family. They know when God talks and all that. And indeed, they've moved. As I talk now, they are in Accra, the family, they left everything. I mean, of course, they came home, they've left their cars, they left their building in Europe, and they are in Ghana, in Accra. You see, they didn't look back. The instruction was, it's time to move from Europe back home. You know, and several people are getting this type of promptings from the Lord that it's time to relocate, it's time to move. Because, you see, let me just say it as it is. If you think this world is going to get any better, you are deceiving yourself. No. The worst days are coming. Worst days are coming. You see, and God knows why He gives instructions to various people depending on their calling and their ministry and their relationship and all that. So, you see, if we don't sharpen ourselves to the point where we are going to be obedient to the Spirit of God, then we can easily become trapped as Mrs. Lot in her scenario. Because you see, had this couple or this family decided to look at, we just bought a new car, extra car, we have this, we have to leave the children, good education here and all that, and we are going back, they would have struggled, they would have disobeyed. But they've moved and they are in Accra, you know. And these are the times where we should start dissociating our love for the things we own. Oh yes, I mean, if we don't start dissociating ourselves from these things, when the prompting comes that it's time to leave this, it's time to move, it's time to run, it's time to do this, you say no, you can't go. Because you don't see why you should leave behind this thing that you've invested so much in, why you should leave this thing that you love so much, you know. And the reason is, unless we are not sincere to ourselves, but clearly you can see that this world is moving towards totalitarian regime, the new world order, the great reset, as they now call it, the antichrist system, it is forming very, very fast before our eyes. And obviously, as Christians, we should know that if truly we are going to stay as Christians who are really sticking to our beliefs in the Word of God and exactly what the Spirit says and leads us to do, then we are not going to have a comfortable life going forward in the times ahead. Clearly, already I've heard countless words of prophecies and warnings and dreams and visions people are getting, no only in Ghana, various parts of the world, where the Lord has started prompting people that it will not be long. His children will have to move from some cities. You know, there are some cities where clearly, security and all, it will be much more difficult to be in cities than in outskirts and in villages and rural areas and all. These warnings have started coming. See, so this is the reason why we have to start even praying and asking the Lord about His will for us, what He wants us to do, and where He would want us to go should it even arise and all that. You see, and it all boils down to the fact that the things we have can be a holdback for some. Just as Mrs. Lot's wife found herself in, the things we have can hold us back. And it's time to remember her. It's time to factor in into these end time discussions and your prayer and all that. These are important things to start thinking about, that the Lord should help you to lose grip of your possessions. The Lord should help you to lose grip of the things you own, so that you have something, yes, but you don't love it. You have it, but it's not as if your whole life depends on it. You have it, but you know that it's just a temporary use. You have it, but you know that it will not be long. You just leave it behind. You see, this whole world, we are struggling, running up and down, jumping up and down, moving to and fro. You know, we know that these things are not forever. These things are not forever. So it's very important that we keep reminding ourselves about the world we live in. Because you see, I just love the way 1 Peter 2:11 puts it. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers. Oh yes, we are strangers in this earth. We are strangers. This is not our permanent abode. And pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. But the emphasis is strangers and pilgrims, you know. And let me read also Hebrews 11:13, where it says, we all know Hebrews, the heroes of faith and all that, says these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You see, if we don't have this mindset that we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth, we would be like Mrs. Lot one day, because see, we would have the mindset that we can't lose these things, we can't leave these things behind. But we are strangers. I mean, see anybody lying at intensive care unit of any hospital and you realize that we are strangers indeed. The person may be the richest man, having acquired cars, mansions, whatever. But when the person is on a deathbed, I mean, he doesn't care about these things, because what is the use? You can't bring your mansion into the hospital room. You can't bring your luxury cars into the hospital room. We are strangers. You know, we know of instances of rich people who, even at the time of dying, when they had to be rushed to hospital, some were even put in a taxi, even, because it's like the urgency of the time, forget about luxury car. You see, so sometimes the devil is able to just unfortunately deceive us to make us feel like we are going to be here forever. The things we own is ours. I mean, we just enjoy it throughout forever. They will continue to be with us. But who dies and goes with the car and the mansions? We all know. It's funny how we know the facts. We know that nobody goes with the things they own. And yet still, we still want to hold on so tightly as if that is what gives us life forever. But no. The things we own do not make us, I mean, eventually get to somewhere in eternity or something. No. All these things are just things we are using on this earth. And actually, let's even get it in a better perspective. We are spirit, souls, and bodies. It is the bodies that is enjoying and using the very things that we are struggling to leave behind, or we are struggling to let go. So, is it the body tends to control, and the body is enjoying the car, the body is enjoying the good life. Of course, the soul is in, the spirit is in, but is the body, the things that the body enjoys and uses, that becomes the problem for us? But you see, if we don't learn to accept the fact that we are strangers and pilgrims, this body is just a container. The real us is our souls. And our souls does not need a luxury car to get into eternity. Our souls don't need a big mansion to get into heaven. Their souls, the soul doesn't need luxury life to make it, I mean, into God's presence. Is it so? The very things that seem to hold us back are also the very things that the soul doesn't even need. But this is the whole package of deception, how we've been deceived as though we can't make live without these same things that are drawing us back. So I believe it's time we start rethinking, I mean, the things we own. You know, seriously, I mean, I last year during the COVID lockdown and all, it really got me thinking a lot, because I looked at the fact that almost for a whole part of the year, there were some clothes I didn't wear. I mean, a shoe I didn't wear or something. I mean, I would go for weeks and months, like virtually for a very long time, the lockdown period, never ironed, never put on the iron to iron anything, because it's like, where are you going? If I'm to go out to go and buy things, just wearing, I mean, some shorts or something, jeans or something, you know, t-shirts, just go, come. And you ask yourself that means there are a whole lot of things we don't even need then. And this is the reality of life. Sometimes we have to reflect and see that we have, sometimes we even have too much of the things we own. And we can even give some away, I mean, to those who need. And indeed, there's even a blessing in giving to the poor and the needy and those who need the things we have. We don't need too much of some of the many things we have. We can give some away. See, all the this practice of giving things out to people who need around you and all that, strangers and people in the church and all, it's one way of trying to dissociate yourself from loving the things that you have. It's a practical way of trying to make things easy for yourself, you see. Because if you open your wardrobe and you have 40 dresses, you and I know that in the whole year you would not wear all the 40 dresses. You would not. And yet so you don't want to give them away, some away. Then, you see, then this is where the test of being Mrs. Lot is coming in. Because if you look at all your dresses and you can't genuinely give some away now, then when the time comes out, you have to run away and leave all of them. No, you say that, no, you can't leave. You see, so let's try to cut ourselves. Let's start cutting ourselves from the things we own. We shouldn't love them. I mean, we should just see ourselves as just users. We are just using something. God has blessed us and we are having something to use. But let's not hold on and attach ourselves to it as if this is till death do us part. No. It's time we renew our minds regarding these things. It's time we remember Mrs. Lot. It's very, very important. It's time to remember Mrs. Lot, because we are getting to that time, you know, and this is the challenge that would hold a lot of people from accepting the orders from God that it's time to move, it's time to do this, it's time to stop, it's time to run. This is going to be the reality on the ground. The challenge that Mrs. Lot had, yes, we've read it over and over in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah from Sunday school, childhood, SU, Sunday school in church or wherever, but we are getting to the time when this thing will be applicable in our lives, where we would have to decide whether we would hold on to our worldly possessions or we would lighten ourselves and just follow what God is saying. It's very critical, because clearly we can see the signals ahead. We can see the signals ahead that this world is moving very fast to that point where the controls are coming. The limitations are coming. I mean, they've planned it. The globalists have planned it. It's just playing out. You know, they are very smart. You can't rush everything out one day. No, so it's in stages. I mean, a whole lot of things happening now in the world. It's been, people have said it years back, and it's unfolding just as they said. Yes, it's unfolding just as they said, because it's a planned thing. You see, but in as much as human beings in their evil agenda have planned these things, it also aligns with Bible prophecy. So it's just like they think they are wise and they want to control the world and, you know, manipulate people, and those who refuse are punished, and even to the extreme stage at the latter serious times, kill them. But that is exactly what the Bible too says. You see, so it is very interesting how Bible prophecy is playing out gradually. But if we are not alert spiritually, and if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to direct you and to prompt you, you'll think, oh, this is one of those things, this too shall come to pass. I mean, it's very unfortunate when you hear even pastors say this too shall pass. It's not passing. It is getting worse. It's going to get worse. This too shall not pass. If you hear anyone tell you that this too shall pass, the person is either ignorant of what is happening in the world, or the person is just lying to you, because this too is not going to pass. No, it's going to get worse. More things are coming. Serious times are coming. Difficult times are coming. And this is the time we need to be prompted by the Holy Spirit to allow Him to lead us, to guide us, to instruct us, and to follow whatever He tells us to do. Because the evil days that the Bible talks about, I won't say it's here, it's is actually unfolding. We've not reached the real evil days even. We've not reached there yet. No. Soon we are going to, but we've not reached yet. So you can imagine the times ahead. Oh yeah. You can imagine the times ahead. You know, by the grace of God, there are a number of people who the Lord is showing these things, and lots of them, some many years back, and exactly the things the Lord showed them is unfolding. You know, there's, I mean, this man in the US, he died some years back, not too long ago though, but he, the Lord normally showed him newspaper headlines ahead of time. So like in 2012, for instance, he'll be reading out the newspaper headlines that the Lord showed him the times ahead. And interestingly, some of them were the things that were headlines last year, you know, in the world. And some are yet to come. And you see, you look at some of the headlines and you realize, wow, interesting times indeed ahead. But it's just exactly what people are dreaming and seeing these days. And all around us in Ghana, outside, various places, Christians seeing things. So it just comes together. The puzzle just fits together that this is the end time, the warnings that the Bible talks about. And if there's anything that we would want to do now, these are the times to let the Holy Spirit be our guide and help us and instruct us. And ultimately, we need the spirit of humility to be able to listen to Him, to help us do what we have to do. Alright, so let's end it here, and thank you for listening. You can join us next time.